Hi, my name is Yujiro Seki. I'm the director of the documentary Carving the Divine, Buddhist Sculptors of Japan. You can find me at www.carvingthedivine.com. And you are watching Two Geeks Talking. どうも、映画監督の関裕次郎です。Carving the Divine, Bush というドキュメンタリーを作りました。私のドキュメンタリーは www.carvingthedivine.com から検索できます。今日は2 Geek Talking にインタビューさせていただいております。
Good morning, afternoon, evening, everyone. 2 Geeks Talking is an entertainment industry interview show where we interview the creative people from the comic, film, TV, movie, and video game industries. And of course, I'm your host, Kurt Sasso. We are joined today by a very talented individual. He is 14 hours behind us.Because he's in Japan. He's a very talented director and has such an amazing documentary film called Carving the Divine. I've watched it at least twice. It is such an amazing experience. I really suggest anyone that watches this interview goes on carvingthedivine.com. We're joined by the ever talented Yujiro Seki. How are you doing today?
Good. What about you? Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you on. For those that don't know anything about yourself as a creative person, tell us who you are and what you are talking about today on Two Geeks Talking.
Well, my name is Yujiro Seki. I'm a director of the Carving the Divine Buddhist Sculptors of Japan. So yeah, when I was 18 years old, I ran into a disease called filmmaking. And ever since I've been making the film, and you know, this particular work that I was working on lasted 12 years, finally, you know, came on market and see if people like it or not.
Well, I loved it. I briefly got to be able to study art history at university, and Japan was one of the cultures and countries specifically in art. And the sculptures of Buddha was also talked about. Seeing your film was amazing because now I got to visually see physical representations instead of just photos and seeing these amazing artists do such beautiful work. I'm jumping ahead of myself here because I'm so excited to talk to you about this. But when you were putting together this film, what was an experience that just changed your scope as a director? What did you enjoy about it? And what was difficult about this process?
Well, you know, ever since that I made a first detective film when I was in high school, it was a comedy and I was able to make people in my school laugh. And I was very inspired by it. So going through this journey of making it, first, I just wanted to make the movie that inspires people. And it was just an egotistic desire. After 12 years, I realized it doesn't mean anything. You know, it doesn't matter if I can inspire people or not be able to inspire people. This is what it is, how people will feel and understand what the reality is for them. That's not up to me. That's up to them. I will try my best to, you know, make something come alive, which focuses on their experience rather than my experience. What I mean by that is, you know, like there are a lot of documentary films in the world nowadays. And in my opinion, majority of them are very opinionated piece. So, you know, like, you know, a director has a certain view about the world, and it's just like a college essay. So, you know, you have introduction and thesis, and you try to convince other people to believe what you believe in. You know, that kind of thing that I've discovered. I decided to go a completely different approach, which sometimes people get a little bit like frustrated because nobody's telling you how to think, what to think. That's not my intention. You know, to be able to discover your own experience is very important because this is what the Buddhism is about. You know, in Buddhism, it's very out the open. And sometimes it's very difficult for some people because there are a lot of interpretation to the same thing. Yeah. So for those of you who want to go through this journey and the self-discovery, this film is great. But maybe this is not for people who want other people to, you know, tell you what to think and how to think. And they, you know, people get frustrated by the fact that nobody's really telling you how to think. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, the bottom line is, but, you know, majority of the time, I think people find something, you know, I love to hear what they find. That's like my greatest joy, rather than, hey, what's your intention behind? People ask me, so I don't care, I don't care about it at all. So
the one scene that really, really stuck out to me was your opening scene of the film itself. The master was talking to a potential apprentice, and he was laying out the pain and suffering of being an apprentice. It was really an eye-opening experience because he was saying, this is what the job, this is what your profession is all about. Are you going to be able to do that? It was one of those things that just, wow, this is something we don't see every day. We don't see the truth about a profession as intricate as being a bushi.
Yes, yes. It doesn't matter how you think and what to think when you enter into the world, right? So you're there to learn. You're there to be a professional bushi, and your opinion really doesn't matter, because if you start talking back to your master, then be on your own. You don't need anybody. And like many people, they cannot stand the training and leave after a few years and claim themselves to be bushi. But the skill set is apparent when you see the details on the cloth, face. Somebody who doesn't have experience, they have a tendency to have a round face, and it's very easy to see it. But but many people are fooled by those people who don't have experience. But a lot of people, majority of the people can recognize who's good and who's bad. And you want to be good, you want to be the best. That's why you enter into the apprenticeship.
When you started doing this particular documentary, what is it about preserving the bushi and about the Buddhist wood carving? What is it that needed to be preserved for future generations?
That's a good question, because it's very difficult to prevent the modernity to taking over what's traditionally important. So this kind of teaching is very controversial in the Western point of view. One festival that I went to, it's an interesting story. So I went to meet this a documentarian from UK who made a film, a documentary about Africa and education and things like that. So he was very passionate about it. And he saw my film and he told me, this is something very interesting. We forget about, this kind of education being there still. That makes me think about if my education is, university education is good or bad. He was telling me something like that. And, I was like, well, thank you so much for watching the film. But, later he emailed me and told me that, this is, very, old fashioned. And, you cannot treating people like this. The people you should be treating people with love and compassion, and verbal abuse or nothing like that. That's not the way we should do in the 21st century. He told me something like that, but the irony is that to be excellent at something, sometimes the people don't want to have that a sweet talk. Oh, everything's going to be all right. Mm-hmm. You're great. You're awesome. And people get delusional. And the fact is that this is a kind of difficult, hard love, because, it's very difficult to reprimand on somebody. It's easy to just say, hey, you're great. Hey, I'm great. We are both great. And, we are friends forever. It's easy to say that, but, it's difficult to say, hey, you're not doing something right. You are effing things up. You gotta get your, shit together. That's very difficult to say, and people get offended by it. And, but in the end, after 5 years or so, 3 years or 5 years, depending on the length of apprenticeship, apprentices have to be on their own and to be able to get the commission, and they need to have the skill set they need to succeed in this difficult world. They only have 3 or 5 years to be really good at it in theory. So during that time, master feels this is a responsibility of the master to make him or her as great as possible. So, that's why masters, they sometimes use harsh language. They are not easy on you, and they hardly ever say that you're good. You know, they always say you're not good enough. So, you know, I mean, it's a very controversial issue. You know, it depends on how you feel. But, you know, people often admire the, you know, artistry of Japanese tradition, the perfectionism of Japanese tradition. In my opinion, you cannot have the best of the both worlds. Nice, cozy, lovey-dovey, you know, training, yeah. And get this like a beautiful, beautiful, you know, traditional art.
I studied Japanese jiu-jitsu for a number of years, about 10 years or so, and just learning to have the mindset of repetition, doing the same thing over and over again to get better at that particular skill or move or whatever. If you don't have that type of mentality of this is my goal, this is what I want to focus on, then you're not going to be good at it and you're just going to half-ass it. I appreciate, as a filmmaker, how you filmed every single scene of this documentary, because it made me appreciate the perfectionist, but it also made me appreciate the art that I fell in love with. I think it was an amazing film. I think you did a great job with it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You did a lot of interviews. You also looked at the world of Buddhist priests in your film, and you had a wonderful connection between the Bushi and the priests. As a filmmaker, was it hard to gain access to that world?
Well, you know, there's a cheat sheet, you know, that I, you know, have to share. So basically, you know, ever since that I was little, I was surrounded by Buddhist objects, altars, statues, and, you know, things like that. Because my father is a Buddhist furniture maker, a butsudan maker. And ever since that I was little, so, you know, my father took me to many temples and, you know, yeah, met so many priests. And, you know, I didn't think anything of it because it was just a family business. But, you know, fast forwarding, when I was in high school, I told you that I made a film about the detective comedy. And, you know, I went to the United States and, you know, met different people from different cultures. I went to the United States because I thought, you know, going to the United States, I can learn the cinema, you know, the, you know, maker of the world cinema, like Hollywood, things like that. You know, I was thinking like when I was 18, like, hey, I'm going to go to the United States to study cinema. Turned out to be, it doesn't really matter where you study cinema. Yeah. But, but, you know, I mean, I was, you know, infatuated by that, you know, the United States, the best place to learn cinema. So. Yes, the access is, you know, finally, when I was in Los Angeles, working as a videographer for a business company, a design company, and made videos for a business. And, you know, I mean, there was nothing wrong with making a video for the business, but I was kind of unsatisfied because I wanted to make the movie that inspires people. That was my high school dream, you know? And, you know, after getting the job, I realized my filmmaking has become the way to make a living, just to, you know, get a paycheck. And I was unsatisfied with it. And I wanted to make something, at least in my lifetime, that means something, that means to my people and that means to the world. I thought about the environment that I grew up in. It was something special. You know, I didn't think about it when I was in Japan, but when I lived in the United States and I met people from different cultures and learned about the, you know, very different things I never thought of. Because when I was in Japan, I was a Japanese among Japanese, and I wasn't conscious of the fact that I was Japanese. But, you know, when I was in the U.S., constantly people reminded me that I'm Japanese, that I'm Japanese, that I'm Japanese. To bring something so special that I can only make is carving the Divine Buddhist sculpture of Japan. You know, I had all the connections that I need to make this film. You know, that getting access was relatively easy, but it's very difficult for people who don't have any connection. They would just say no, you know, to the priest or to Bushi. Even if you will be able to capture Bushi or priest, they'll only show you the superficial side of them. They're not going to show you that, you know, the bad, the good, and the ugly that you see in Carving the Divine. So, yes, that's the story behind it. You know, I hope I answer your question.
You did. Yep. No, that was very good. I didn't realize you had that type of connection. And you're right. I'm Canadian myself, so I went back to school for film, and I became a producer of film, more than a director. Making the connections, connecting the people, getting the projects made is my specialty. In seeing that you've done everything yourself, when you were putting this all together, what did you learn from when you started to when you had your final product of Carving the Divine ready for film festivals?
Well, first of all, I was young and naive, and so when you think of it, it's so stupid things to say, do. As you know, that filmmaking is a teamwork. It's supposed to be teamwork, and there are some people who supported me, of course, along the way. You cannot make the film by yourself alone. That's not impossible. That's not possible. But original intention that I had is to just to do everything by myself, because I saw somebody like Roberto Rodriguez, El Mariachi, and I thought I could do that too. But when I look back, I mean, if I can do it again, probably not. Do I want to do it again? Probably not. So, I always tell people Carving the Divine is a special, not because it's a special film, but it's probably, something that I can only do once in a lifetime. When you are naive and you have like such a ambition, you had some money set up because you wanted to make the film, and you can only do that probably once. Some people might be able to do it twice, but imagine spending 12 years and do it again. So, people often ask me like, what are you going to make next? I don't like this question at all. I don't want to make anything anymore, at least for now. And the people get really disappointed, like, oh, you gotta make something, you have to make another one. But it's very difficult to top what I created in Carving the Divines.
If you're happy with what you've done and you've showcased this amazing world in Carving the Divine and you've let people see it because you've been to many film festivals, you're an award-winning director and documentary filmmaker. You've shown this to the world. What has been their response to it, though?
Well, it's interesting because film festivals are like a perfect testing ground if film works or not, right? People can tell you, oh, this is a great film and all this just because you are there, but it's really hard to fake the reaction from the people. And I love to see people after the film. I stand in front of them and I see that all the eyes. And I always think they have such a beautiful eyes. Eyes can speak themselves. Because we live in this world that sometimes everything is not pretty. We pretend everything's pretty. It is not, certainly. We cheat. We are being cheated. When you speak in front of people, or when you interact with different people, you pretend that you've never done anything wrong, and the other people are the ones that who are doing something wrong. But the reality is we hurt other people, and we are being hurt. It's it goes both ways. That's what I believe. Even when I have no intention to hurting other people, sometimes I hurt people. This is inevitable. And we are living in this world together, not knowing why we are born. We struggle to find the meanings in this life, and some people are good at finding the meaning and some people are not. And by some chance, some people go to the film festival and see Carving the Divine, and after the film, I stand in front of people to talk and answer questions. And when I see their in their eyes, I know they felt something. We are all in this together. And we all have a, I don't know, like a, I don't want to say good intention, but we all have a something, some common experience. And to feel that, in front of everybody by seeing those eyes, I understand everybody is struggling, everybody is suffering, but everybody, trying to find something the best they can in their life. So that's my experience of the festival. So that's why I know the film is working. I don't need the people to tell me anything. You know, well, your film is great. You know, I mean, what that's supposed to mean? You know, your reaction would say that by itself. So, and your film, it seems like a film never fails to achieve that. So that's why I recommend people, hey, maybe you should watch this film. You know, if I didn't get that kind of reaction film from people, I would just bounce. Like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. This is stupid.
That's good. Yeah, a lot of reactions are face value. You see it in the face, you get the reaction. Sometimes a simple glint in the eye of potential tear, or sometimes it's a thoughtful expression, or they just enjoyed it for the sake of maybe that's something they needed in their life at that time. For me, when I was watching it, I think it was just one of those moments where I needed to see that. I needed to see something beautiful in my life, and that's why I've watched it as many times as I have, and I think it's a great film. I've recommended it to a few friends as well. We'll see what they say or
Thank
not
you so
say.
much. Well, you know, it's interesting because when people watching the film, this is the scary moment when you are sitting with them because there are no facial reactions. You know, there are people so serious, and I was like, what they're thinking, right? Like because like the film that I made when I was in high school, the detective film, people laughed. When I had a punchlines, people laughed. And that I know the film is working, right? But you never know if the film is wor this film is working until very end. When I stand in front of people at the podium and see people's eyes, that's the only time that I can figure out if the film was working. But when I was sitting right next to them, I always think, wow, people must be bored out of their mind, you know.
What is the most misunderstood aspect about being a documentary filmmaker for people who don't understand being a documentary filmmaker?
Well, the filmmaking in general gives a false perception of the reality. People might think we are living in this like a glorious world and going to a festival, you know, and you have a champagne and you know, take a picture with the celebrities and you know, it's a very wonderful world, the beautiful people and all this. But the reality is that, you know, well, there are two tiers of people, right? Like people who have a, you know, a filthy load of money and decide to do a filmmaking as a hobby. Or, you know, or there's somebody who has nothing and who doesn't have any money at all, but you know, he or she loves filmmaking so much, so he or she decides to stay in this world. So, you know, there's not somewhere middle either, like you know, you're so filthy rich or you're you know, super poor, you know, when they do a filmmaking. So that's like at the because like when you see a Hollywood and when you see a like Academy Award and everything, you know, people think this is the world of cinema, you know, but it's a really brutal world, you know, it's a very competitive, and there are so many people who can replace you in any time to make money. I don't think this is the right way to go. You know, to make money, you should study real estate. You should study cryptocurrency. You know, you should like study finance. You know, like you cannot be rich by being a filmmaker. So you really have to be committed to tell a story that means to people. You know, and you know, you don't care about the consequences so much that you know you I'm going to be a rich like a Steven Spielberg. That's not going to probably happen. It could happen, but it's not going to probably happen, especially for the documentaries. Because you know what I mean, you know, you have an iPhone and you can pick up the camera and you can make anything. You can make any stuff up nowadays. You know, when I started, like you know, people who only are serious enough to buy those expensive cameras, they're the filmmakers. But nowadays, anybody can make a film. You know, in this like environment, it's really difficult to stand out. And you know, sometimes people who have a skill set who learn traditional filmmaking in their whole life, they won't be able to shine through all the crowd, which is very unfair, in my opinion. it's been like that. So that my question to you is, you know, unless you really love it, you shouldn't do it. Filmmaking tip for the documentarian is when you make a documentary for the first time, you don't have any resource or you know, backing from a big financial people. Again, you have to do something that's accessible to you, you know, very dear to you, very close to you. You know, in the case of The Covenant Divine, yes, I've made other films before, of course, the narratives and the short documentaries and things like that. But this is my first serious work. And, you know, I mean, filmmaking costs so much money, crazy amount of money. And, you know, people don't give you access to many places. The only way to do that is to use what you have. And sometimes the story comes out of that is probably better than something, you know, that you don't have any access to. Maybe I digress a little bit, so.
No, I can agree with you on that. I was in information technology for 20 years, and I went back to school for film. Yeah, it was not a wonderful career change, but it was an interesting experience learning.
Yeah, but you know, it's a fulfilling. You know, what's important to you? You're gonna be a filthy rich like a Bill Gates? Well, you know, you tell a story that inspires people. Because when you tell a story that inspires people, it's satisfying. It's very, very satisfying that you cannot buy by money. You can't.
I agree. Yeah, the stories we get to tell. No, and that's why I do this show. That's why I talk with amazing people like yourself. I love their stories and I love their journey and their creative lives. And it just gives me hope for the future of whatever they're creating. So this is just another step in another wonderful interview.
Thank you so much. And you know, we really appreciate somebody who's taking an initiative like that as well.
I saw you on Twitter, and this is where I happened to catch Carving the Divine. I saw the trailer, and then I looked at your YouTube channel and your Facebook pages. And can you tell us a bit about those for those that are interested in this profession?
When I finished the film, you know, I thought it was like the great, right? Like, oh, I made this film. You know, this is this 1,400-year-old Japanese art tradition. People have never explored anything like this before, and it's gonna be a big hit. You know, like you know, I naively thought something like that. You know, not quite 100%, but you know what I mean. You know, I thought at least the people give me a chance. But you know, I submitted the film to Sundance Film Festival, and I got rejected. You know, and it. Of course, you know, you get rejected by Sundance, you know, but at that time, you know, I thought I was a complete failure. Like, oh my gosh, you know, nobody want to watch the film. And I went to the cafeteria and talked to people about the film. And hey, this is 1,400-year-old Buddhist art tradition. And, you know, frankly, people said, hey, what's so exciting about it? Why don't you shoot the film about Justin Bieber or something popular, something famous, you know, this is the thing that exactly that I did want to do
Right.
as a rebel filmmaker. The harsh reality is that people like to, you know, focus on somebody who's famous, some popular trend, you know, like if you know people are interested in LGBTQ film. You know, everything's become LGBTQ film, like a trend, you know. I'm not like making fun of LGBTQ people, but anything, Black Lives Matter, environmental issues, and, you know, film festivals and film community has a tendency to either go to, you know, celebrity-based films or some trend. And, you know, my film did not really fall into any of those categories. That was a struggle. And I was thinking about, well, you know what? I have to do something in order for me to raise awareness of this culture, this wonderful, beautiful culture people neglect. Okay, this art is a Buddhism, related to Buddhism. So why don't we, if we just do, you start a little YouTube show about the Buddhism, like a mini lesson, you know, so that people can get the gist of this tradition, like a spiritual, philosophical tradition. And I started doing this YouTube show, Carving the Divine TV, with a scholar. And along the way, when I was doing this interview series with a scholar, it's almost like a drill, like a Buddhist 101. You know, we made it in a way if you watch it from the beginning to the end, you can understand the gist of Buddhism, the overall idea of Buddhism. You know, each show was 10 minutes long initially because of, you know, people from a different spiritual tradition, people misunderstand Buddhism. And, you know, it's a very interesting world. But, you know, along the way, I realized by talking to scholar, they give only one-sided point of view about this spiritual tradition. Practitioners, they have a completely different opinions about this. Sometimes they are similar, but sometimes you'll be very surprised to, you know, how different their point of views are about a certain topic. So, you know, I thought it's not fair to only just present a scholar point of view. So I invited like a practitioners, and I also invited like a, you know, art historian who's an expert on Buddhist statues. And you know, this whole complete package, my YouTube show would give a, you know, overall bigger idea of what's Buddhism is, what Buddhist sculptures are, how, you know, interesting this tradition is. And along the way, I was be able to gain followers, be able to find people who are interested in this topic. And, you know, this is how, you know, I gained a lot of followers and, you know, people who are interested in my documentary. And people who are asking me when that your documentary is going to come out, when's your documentary is going to come out. But if you don't do anything like this, it is very difficult to find people, find your audience. In the 21st century, it is very important to do social media if you like it or not. Especially, as I said, like Taylor Swift, you know, Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, or anything like that. You know, if you don't have any followings or anything like that, it is very important to give some important information, which is free, which is you know, useful to people. Then finally, people give you a chance.
Building an audience in today's age is difficult, like you said. I've been doing this show for 15 years, and it is still difficult to get an audience, it feels. I just do it for the people that come on the show and let this platform speak for itself. But no, the history is amazing. The YouTube channel is well done. There's a great professional quality to it, and you definitely will learn something. And I'm planning on going through it as well too, because sometimes we just need a different perspective in life.
This is not the show about you know, converting people to
Right.
Buddhist. You know, I don't care, you know, if people are Buddhist or Christian or Muslim or nothing like that. You know, I mean, anything like that, I don't care. But you know, sometimes when you study different spiritual tradition, you'll be very surprised how much wisdom it, you know, it goes into. You know, I learned Christianity, I learned Islam, you know, and you know, I learned a different religious tradition because this is one of my passions, like philosophy and religion, you know. And you know, this is a very fascinating world, you know. I mean, sometimes it takes a little bit of courage to step out of your comfort zone and learn something new. And that's why I wanted to make this YouTube show as simple, easy, yet profound as possible. As you ask me about Facebook, and you know, of course, you know, there's a Facebook fan page, and you know, also like a group that I made. It's called Facebook group. It's called Long Live Butsuzo. So this group is for a community of people who are interested in Buddhist statues. They just contribute by sharing the pictures of Buddhist statues, you know, in Japan or different parts of the world. And we discuss about like different statues and, you know, definitions of iconographies of different statues and all this. And you know, I wanted to make this group because I wanted to have also a place for people to just to talk about themselves rather than me talking about you know, myself, you know. And you know, people get sick of me talking about myself everywhere, right? So you know, I mean, they always see me talking, and you know, I mean, they need a room to breathe. That's the, you know, space that, you know, people can take advantage of the Facebook group, Long Live Butsuzo. You know, there I really don't, you know, interact so much with the people because really wanted to make the space for people. So you know that, you know, because you know, I can talk about myself on Twitter, I mean X,
Whatever.
Facebook fan page, Instagram, and things like that. And to build a community, it shouldn't be all about yourself, but also about the other people as well.
Have you done any follow up with any of the people you connected with in the film, like the masters you spoke with, or any of the apprentices?
Well, I'm glad that you are not giving that spoiler alert, because many people will want to give away the movie when I do an interview. Yes, I follow up with those people, and some people became successful. Some people, success is the definition that everybody has to decide on their own. So I'm contradicting myself here, but basically, some people could not make it. Some people made it. Mm-hmm. Apprentices. It's just a fact of life. It's not an easy world.
Everyone has one person that inspired them on their path to where they are today. Who was that for you?
Well, of course, many people inspired me before, but one of my heroes that I look up to when I was young, when I was in high school, was Akira Kurosawa. Seven Samurai, Yojimbo, Sanjuro, samurai movies. It's a very the action movie that I admire from my country, from Japan. And later found out George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, they were inspired by it too. But it's interesting because when I was watching it when I was in high school, people thought that was weird because it was like an old black and white film. And friends from my high school, they they told me that, why are you watching this old film? You need a closed caption for that because the audio was not so great. You don't need to understand the audio to watch the film. This is one of the things that defining factors of the cinema is this visual medium. And you should be able to tell the story without having that much dialogue, which I try my best to in Covenant Divine too. Language is beautiful, but the language of cinema is a visual. And if you cannot communicate through the visual and rely so much on dialogue, then, what's the point of doing that in cinema? So, yes.
Amazing director and beautiful. You can learn so much just on his placement of the characters and the lighting as well with all of his films. It was just something about his style was just beautiful always to watch. I still have the DVD somewhere here, so.
Criterion.
Yeah. From a professional standpoint, you are a successful filmmaker. Do you consider yourself personally successful?
Well, I think that question is irrelevant. Why? Because success is the definition of individual interpretation. What's the success, right? I'm financially successful through this film, probably not. I mean, 12 years of my life, pouring into this work, and it's really difficult to, get the money back if you don't have any star attached. But, when I see, the reaction of the people and how people tell me, how much, they feel inspired by my film. I mean, yeah, I would have to consider this as a success, but how you see it is a very important, how other people interpret as a success. What's the most important thing for you? So that's a question. So yes.
The reverse of success is failure. How do you deal with your failures?
Well, I fail every day. I fail every day. And, I get ridiculed by people every day. Some people told me that I'm too childish, while I was working on it. I was like a, high school kid. And I still have that spirit of a high school kid. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a, teenager still in my heart, but if you believe in something, you just don't care. All the great people, no matter how much criticized they are, they just keep going. I don't tell who they are, but, all the people, either you agree with them or not, If you believe in something, you just keep going. Then the definition of failure becomes irrelevant. But because in the end, what are we going to take? What are we going to take with us when we leave? Nothing. There's no nothing to lose, nothing to gain. That's why the question is kind of irrelevant. If you believe in something, you just keep going with it.
The younger generation is looking at your work, Carving the Divine, and they're becoming inspired to be creative in their own way. How can they inspire the generation that follows them?
That's a difficult question. But I think you just have to keep doing what you believe in. That's it. Because, eventually people will come around. At first, people would make fun of people who do something different, who doesn't follow the path of the path that everybody else is following. It's inevitable. So, to overcome that, you just have to keep going and, do what you believe in. That's the only way to inspire a new generation, because you have to be the embodiment of the inspiration, right? So, if you cannot be that person, or if you don't want to be that person, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, I think. And I think that question is, again, irrelevant, because in the end, you just do what you think it's an important thing to do. Everything else falls after. This is an afterward talk. So yeah, just to do, if you have a story, that you want to tell, you just believe in the story, just to do it.
If your life was a movie, what would its title be? And what would its soundtrack be?
You know what? I don't listen to so much music. When I was younger, I did. But, when I started making a documentary, Carving the Divine, my music is like a soundtrack of the movie, right? Like what music goes with for certain kind of scenes. I like that Beethoven's Moonlight. Mm-hmm. And it just starts from calm. And it becomes very violent, and turbulent in the end. I think that's kind of what life is, the chaos. Maybe the film is like the name of the film is Chaos. But out of the chaos, or from suffering, something beautiful comes out. And, people can say, well, you don't need to suffer, but still there are beautiful things that, you can come out, But I think artists suffer. From the suffering, the art comes out, that's my take on it. Yeah, you can be happy and, excited and, living a great life, and you have a beautiful woman. The penthouse, living in the penthouse, and the driving Fast and Furious car and everything. You could have a life and you can be a great artist, of course. But I just think that, without suffering, it's really difficult to make a work of art that, connect with the people. Yeah, don't get me wrong, maybe I'm wrong in many circumstances, but, especially film, if you don't suffer, you cannot make a film. In one way or another, you suffer.
No truer words have been said. That is true. Those that have been in the industry understand it all too well.
It's sad because you have only, 60 minutes, hour to tell a story, right? Yeah. And, for somebody who's sitting, you can just do, it's a 60 minutes, 98 minutes, 2 hours. It's a face value. But how much it goes into that to make 98 minutes and 2 hour film, I always tell people, just by finishing the film, you already triumphed. Mm-hmm. But to get people to like your film or to be inspired by it, it's another story. And many of us fail, miserably. People say this is a piece of crap. And how can you deal with that? After many years of spending time making this work, and people don't like it. That's another risk. And a lot of artists suffer so much from that.
I learned a quick word called perseverance in terms of being in this industry. If you have perseverance to work through the struggles and the trials, you are able to succeed in one way or another. We do it because we love it. That's the only reason why we're in this industry. So we have our stories we tell, and you've made a connection with at least me in Carving the Divine, and I'm sure you're going to make many more connections with those that watch this particular interview. So I just want to thank you so much, Yujiro, for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Gord.
Before I let you go, where can we find you? How can we support you? And websites, social media, anything like that?
Well, the best place to go is www.carvingthedivine.com. You know, when I made this film, hopefully that this domain was available. And also, yeah, you can find me on X, Instagram, and Facebook. And you know, you can join the long-lived Butsuzo Facebook. And also, you know, we have a Reddit discussion group called Butsuzo, R Butsuzo. Yes, there are many places to connect with me. And yeah, so and you if you find the film interesting to you, you can watch the film. But you know, even though, you know, if you're not interested, you can watch my YouTube show for free, you know, learn something about the Buddhism and the statues. But in the end, if you want to put the two and two together, the theory of Buddhism, iconography of statues, and the experience of Bushi, Buddhist sculptors of Japan, if you combine everything, I think it creates like a whole new perspective and experience. That's why, you know, I have everything, because if my documentary cannot tell the complete story itself, my YouTube channel cannot tell a complete story by itself. Also, I have a blog. We have a blog called Butsuzoshon on our website, which is a another appreciation blog for how to see Buddhist statues. You know, tells a little bit about the history of the statues and how the statues are being made, the techniques and everything. So it's a complete system, because many people don't know anything about this part of the art. But you know, people focus on like a renaissance of Michelangelo's and Leonardo da Vinci and Donatello and things like that. But there's a renaissance going on in Japan too. We tell all that on the blog and also YouTube. But the film is about the people who's still making statues from this 1400-year-old tradition. So everything comes together.
I definitely want to have you back on in the future, please. You're welcome anytime to come back on Two Geeks Talking. So whenever you have something coming up, please, I would love to have you back on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Like I said, that ends this particular episode of Two Geeks Talking. You can, of course, find this interview and 1,000+ others on our website, tgtmedia.com or twogeekstalking.com. That's TWO. The podcast is at twogeekstalking.podbean.com or search Two Geeks Talking wherever you get your podcasts. The YouTube channel is always updated, which is youtube.com/TGT Media. And as I say every week, everyone has a story to tell. It's up to me to help bring that out. Thanks for listening and watching on Two Geeks Talking.